Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You can't win anything with kids.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
How much are the players looking forward to Arsene Wenger arriving?
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Phoenix Five. On this week's episode, we will be debating deadly duos.
Oh, that's a nice bit of skill. And Quinn
for Klinsmann. Two defenders is Sheringham. Oh, what a goal!
Barnes, Rush, Barnes. Still John Barnes, Collymore closing in!
Modern football now is all about having a team that is tactically fluid. A false nine, split strikers, or no natural striker at all. And today, we're going to reminisce and debate. We have decided for this week's episode to focus more on partnerships in the Premiership. Colwyn Beardsley, Shearer and Sutton, Phillips and Quinn, Kitson and Hartson, some of the best partnerships the Premier League have ever seen. So let me start, everyone. So let me give you some stats. I'm going to start with Cole and Beardsley for Newcastle. In the 93-94 season, they scored an incredible 55 goals. Then you have Shearer and Sutton for Blackburn in the title-winning season, who racked up 49 goals. Then you have Alan Shearer again and Les Ferdinand at Newcastle, again 49 goals. Phillips and Quinn, 44 goals at Sunderland. Then you had Robbie Fowler and Stan Collymore with 42 goals. And then my favourite, Dwight York and Andy Cole.
Well left by York, fed by Cole. Back to Andy Cole from Dwight York. Fantastic!
Holland, you heard about the great strike partnerships. Who would you say is your dream duo or the best team that you saw, the best strike force you saw?
Well, being an Arsenal fan, Robbie Fowler used to absolutely hammer us every time he played. Hat-tricks galore. So, as much as I hate him, I can't help but admire him and Collymore. So, it's so hard because you've got York and Cole. You've got loads of them. But for me, the most exciting to watch, I would say, is Fowler and Collymore. Do I think they're the best of the 90s? No, I think the best of the 90s is York and Cole. Purely for what they achieved. You know what I mean? You can't take away that treble. For me, they were really most exciting. But for the best, I feel the best strike partnership of the 90s is York and Cole. And yeah, that's me.
I'm quite surprised that you've gone with York and Cole, to be honest. I would never have thought that. But let's go over to Miller. What would you say is the dream duo?
For me, it would have or is Shearer and Ferdinand. I know they only played the one season together, but it's a shame for the Premier League that they never actually spent more time together because they contributed to each other's skill sets. They just bounced off each other, and it's a shame they never got the same playing time for England.
Do you think if they stayed together at Newcastle, Newcastle would have won a league?
100%. That's why I think it's a shame for the Premier League that they never stayed. And he thought, hold up, I'm the main man here, now you brought somebody in.
Yeah, I'm with Adam on this, I'm afraid. I will definitely go with Shearer and Ferdinand. They were my best partnership. like Adam said as well, it was only for one season. In that season, they scored together, I think it was 49 goals. Is it 49 goals?
Yes, 49 goals in that season.
Yeah, one season, 49 goals.
Hey, Lee, yeah. When you're shouting out numbers like that, make sure you ring Ryan Greenman, yeah?
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll be listening, so he'll pick us up on it if we're wrong. And going back to what Dave said as well, with Fowler Collymore, I kind of like Owen with Fowler.
I mean, yeah, as I said, we mentioned some of the intro in terms of great partnerships, but there's many that won't have been mentioned there. So, Graham, what are you going with?
Yeah, you all make some good points there, lads. There's some great strike partnerships I think you've all mentioned. The weird one is that, you know, Collymore and Fowler, I literally forgot about them for a bit. It sounds weird, but the reason I forgot about them, because I personally thought they were good as individuals. As strike partnerships, you've got the likes of Cole and York, as Colin said. To me, they were telepathic. They were literally telepathic. They knew where each other was. Quinn and Phillips, they were very old school. You know, very old school. Pump up to the big man, knock it down. Phillips runs on and bangs it in. But instead of going around the houses, I'm gonna go with what Holland said. I'm gonna go Cole and York. They just look like they were made for each other, personally. As Lee said, there's lots of others you can mention. Sheringham and Klinsmann, very exciting. He came over from Bayern Munich. We all knew about him. We knew what he was capable of. So for the moment, Cole and York for me, just because as well, we watch a lot of them. Cole and York at the moment for me, yeah, they're top it for me at the moment.
You mentioned Phillips there, which is an interesting point. I'll give you my ones in a second. But so Kevin Phillips is the last English player to win the European Golden Shoe. You know, Harry Kane never won it, Wayne Rooney, Shearer. Kevin Phillips is the last English player to win that, which is incredible when you think of all the great English strikers since. My pick is York and Cole, purely because, obviously, you know, not just I'm a Man United fan, because I think if we was going into the 2000s, I think Bergkamp and Omri. No, I think if we're going to the 2000s, Bergkamp, Omri, Ronaldo, Tevez, I think there's a lot of partnerships in the 2000s. It was the later 2000s we started seeing the demise of the strike partnerships. I mean, the goals they scored, there was a signature move that they had as a strike partnership. I don't think anyone had. When you have the big man, small man, you've got the big man knocks it down, the small man finishes it. With York and Cole against Bromby, Barcelona, I think Aston Villa, that ball from the right on the ground where York or Cole would leave it, so it would be a dummy for the other striker to go on to and finish the goal. Anywhere close.
Not a great understanding, I would say. I would agree.
Yeah. You know, I am surprised that no one's mentioned Cole and Beardsley a bit more. Let's have a mention for everyone. I mean, Quinn and Phillips. I mean, who remembers their goals for Sunderland, how good they were?
Yeah, well, Phillips scored 30 of them, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was a machine. So, you know, you're putting them two together. Don't get me wrong, and Quinn was good at what he'd done, but he's taken a lot of credit for that duo when a lot of that work was Phillips. I don't know if you boys agree.
No, I agree.
No, I don't. I think Quinn done a lot of the donkey work. I think Quinn done a lot of the donkey work. He done a lot of the hold-up play. He was a bit more aggressive, and he'd flick it on for Phillips. If you watch the pair of them, Phillips, obviously, you know, he's got to score the goals. He's got to take a lot of credit. He's got to put that in the back of the net. But he runs onto a lot of moves made by Niall Quinn. That's what I said. He's very old school. Very reminds me of Wimbledon a bit. But there again, Wimbledon had two big men up front, didn't they? Do you remember they had Holdsworth and Okoku and Marcus Gale? So they had two big men up front knocking it down. But they've both got to take credit, I think. Both as good as... I know Phillips got the 30-odd goals, but... Without him, I don't think we'd have got half of them without Quinn. That's
eight England caps, Kevin Phillips. Eight
Dean England Holdsworth caps. Got a lot of goals in the early 90s.
So,
who?
Kevin Phillips get 30 goals. Ain't bad for a right back. When he come into Premiership football, he was a right back to begin with. So he ain't done bad there, Kevin Phillips, has he?
Yeah, boys, I've got one for you. It come off the internet, so it could be wrong. And when QPR's name's mentioned, it probably is. In 1992, the deadliest duo, this is, you know, I didn't get this on Wikipedia, so hopefully it's true. But the deadliest duo in 1992 season when the Premier League started was Les Ferdinand and Bradley Allen with 30 goals. 24-year-old Sir Les and Bradley Allen nicked 10. And according to the deadly duos, they were number one in 1992-93 season, beginning of the Premiership.
Well, wow. They're a bit, them two are a bit like Quinn and Phillips, big man, little man.
When that came up, I thought that's got to be Moody. But yeah. I'm sure someone's going to come on and tell me it is. I hope though.
Well, they finished top London club that year, so it's probably some truth in it. They were third QPR, no fourth, I think, after Sheffield Wednesday. I think so.
I've never needed glasses, but I thought I needed them when I saw it.
So Shearer and Sutton, I'm surprised Harper, being a closet Blackburn fan back in the day, you didn't go for Shearer and Sutton, the first SOS.
Well, obviously Shearer, I've picked him and Ferdinand. Shearer, obviously, for me, he's the ultimate striker in the Premier League. But for me, Sutton, he wasn't very good. I don't know. I know he scored, well, in that season, I think they scored 56 goals, is it? Shearer got 34, so yeah. So he got 15 goals, Sutton. And yeah, for me, the whole night... I know he scored goals at Norwich. He scored, I think, the year before that, he scored 25 goals.
Didn't get any goals at Chelsea.
Hey, Lee, when you're looking at that, right, you're saying Shearer got 34 goals. Something popped up when I looked at that. And he got 13 assists as well. And Sutton's got 15 goals. Shearer. So Shearer scored 34 goals and got 13 assists that season. Do you reckon he chalked up, he assisted Sutton with 13 out of his 15 goals?
Well, I'm just, like I said, I just don't think Sutton was that good. But he did score goals. Like you said, the season before, obviously Blackburn bought him. He scored 25 for Norwich. But I don't know what you lot think about Sutton. Even when he went to Chelsea, he don't get enough credit for me. Dion Dublin. Right? I've looked at the goal scoring charts. In about four consecutive seasons, he's in the top 10. Every single year, and he's playing for Coventry.
And he's probably centre-back for half them games.
He's in my team for the next episode with Dion Dublin up front, because I looked at his goal stats.
Dublin scored 14 goals in 98-99 he was at Aston Villa then, and his strike partner was Julian Joachim. He also scored 14 goals, I think.
So just touching on that then, so we're going to stick with Dwight York and Andy Cole against Alan Shearer and Les Ferdinand. But in terms of York and Cole, in terms of our partnerships, telepathic, they won the treble, they won the league the following season. Shearer and Sutton, Cole and Beardsley haven't got a unique move. Whereas York and Cole, as David Graham said, telepathic. The way they would dummy a ball, and it wasn't just one type of goal, it was Dwight York was great in the air as well. So the ball's coming in the box and York finishing it. Andy Cole was scruffy inside the box and would finish it. That the movement between them was so fluid and it was so telepathic, you couldn't pick up York because Cole would make a run. And then someone would dummy and someone would spin. I don't see how Shearer and Ferdinand are close, to be honest. And again, they've done it for a season. Well done, fantastic. Could they have won a league, as I said to Miller, if they stayed together? And Miller says yes. Go for it. Give me an argument that's going to convince me that it's not York and Cole.
When you say it like that, the understanding, I have to agree, I suppose. Them two did have a good, great understanding, like chemistry. So, yeah, I probably will agree with it. Shearer, yeah, like you're saying, he's probably the best striker in it. But as a partnership, no, I'll go with York and Cole with you.
Miller.
I think you're underestimating the relationship that Shearer and Ferdinand had together. The assists that they actually gave to each other from outside the box, inside the box, on the edge of the box, their movement together. They was pretty much a similar striker, so they knew where they would want the ball. Shearer goes out on the wing with the ball, he's putting it straight onto Ferdinand's head. They knew exactly what they wanted. Same vice versa, the other way. If Les was on the edge of the box, he knew exactly what movement Shearer was doing, because it was like looking in the mirror. Both of them were near enough identical strikers, and they knew exactly what the other person was going to do.
But if you're, as a defender...
It's a shame that they never got to play together for longer.
But let's just use one season as a reference. Just that season. If I'm saying to you now, right, Bosch, pick your best striker partnership to go up top, and it's going to win you something. Shearer and Ferdinand weren't going to win you anything.
No, it's proven for the other two, obviously. It's proven. So I'm not saying York and Cole. I'm not saying no to them. All I'm saying is, if I was to choose out of the partnerships that we had to put into an 11, I would put Shearer and Ferdinand.
Holland?
Well,
is there
anything? Yeah, no, I can understand what Miller, I can see what Miller's saying. I mean, they're both great strike partnerships anyway, regardless. So it is difficult.
I wouldn't pick Shearer and Ferdinand as great, first of all. I put them as a good partnership. I wouldn't use the words great.
They never got a chance to be great, is what I'm saying. You're saying go on one season. They was great for that one season.
Yeah, but Paul, I think we all agree York and Cole were great. But can you? Who would you have else as great? If you're saying that Shearer and Ferdinand weren't great, who else were?
Shearer and Sutton were better. They won a league.
Yeah, but now you're going against the team.
Like Cole and York, their service to them was better than
this is what I was going to say, Adam. Going back to last week or whenever, I think David Graham brought up the attention to Bastia and Del Piero. Del Piero had world-class players in and around him. This is exactly what we're saying.
Look what the Man United boys had.
Look at their team. And they got York and Cole to Newcastle. They kind of always went top heavy Newcastle. They never, their defence was always, it's like,
well, hold on. Hold on. You've just proved me point. Newcastle were top heavy. Newcastle had abundance of talent going forward.
Yeah, but you can't look at the talent that Newcastle had.
At that time, Newcastle was the best team in the league. Graham, come in. Come on. You're smiling there. Graham, come
and speak to us. I like it when you get slightly heated, just passionate about what you're saying. I don't need a lot of convincing. As I'm just going to keep it brief. It's basically link-up play for me. Exactly the same. Carboni to Canio, natural. York and Cole, telepathic. And Quinn and Phillips, old school. It just works for me. So yeah, I'm going to go with York and Cole, mate. But literally from what I've seen, York and Cole. Not obviously Shearer on his own. Ferdinand, Sutton, all the other guys, they're fantastic. But if you're asking to pick one, that would be who I would pick. To me, I used the word telepathic, and that's basically what they were. I'm a fan of link-up play, like I said earlier. Carboni and Di Canio weren't prolific, but to watch them play, they were natural. It just looked like they enjoyed each other's company sort of thing. Quinn and Phillips, old school, like Wimbledon, hump to the big man and knock it down. I knew exactly what they were doing. But you know, players like Shearer and Ferdinand and Sutton, Fowler, they're very good individually. But as partnerships, link-up play, for me, it's got to be York and Cole. Watching them as well in the Champions League, which used to be on ITV, used to see a lot of it then, match of the day, Man United were winning stuff. It was York, Cole. So it sticks with you. And I just really enjoy watching them play. Edge your seat stuff, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to sit with Cole and York, Paul, for me.
I would say, and you know, not being difficult, but I think Quinn and Phillips are a better partnership than Ferdinand and Shearer. I think Ferdinand and Shearer, and Miller said the same thing, they were the same. But as a partnership, York and Cole, I don't think you can come close to. And I would pick Quinn and Phillips ahead of...
You can't let Ferdinand like that, saying he's only good in the air.
How many goals did you score outside the box, mate?
He had a lot more.
He scored a few outside the box.
Did he?
Yeah, definitely.
When you think
you go back onto Sky and watch that season back over when they show the highlights of that season, you watch their link-up play between Shearer and Ferdinand. That's what I'm saying. I think you're underestimating how good they were link-up together. Just put them two in the United team and tell me that they wouldn't have won everything that you already won with York and Cole.
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't won the Champions League with Ferdinand in it. I think with Shearer, yeah, on his own, maybe. But not with Ferdinand and Shearer, I don't think, no.
For me, you're underestimating the partnership.
Well, I just want to say something quickly. It's kind of like about partnerships, but also like this striker hasn't been mentioned in a partnership. In 92-93, he scored 15 goals. In 93-94, he scored 23 league goals. In 94-95, he scored 18 league goals. In 95-96, he scored 15 league goals. In 96-97, he scored 23 league goals. So that's 5 years on the spin there where he's pretty much up there. Can anyone name him?
Ian Wright?
Correct.
Ian Wright, yeah.
Correct, Ian Wright.
Who is his partner? Merson.
Exactly. Who would you say Ian Wright's strike partner was at Arsenal? Like, because, well...
I know. And one of them was Kevin Campbell, which never gets mentioned. He'd only played together one season, and they were good. Wright and Campbell, Ian Wright and Kevin Campbell, they were good. And then Campbell went and moved on. But yeah, no, Ian Wright is a natural finisher without doubt. I don't know, he doesn't get mentioned enough. But yeah, no, he wasn't in a prolific, iconic
partnership. That's what I'm just trying to get at. Like, because obviously those five seasons there that I just named, literally. He's up there in the scoring charts every single season, but he didn't really have a strike partner. Like, obviously, when Bergkamp came.
Yeah.
Merson was a centre mid, and he converted to forward, didn't he, Merson? He started centre mid, then he played up front with Ian Wright for a bit, and then Bergkamp come. And then, do you remember when, I don't like going into the noughties, it's been a 90s podcast, but when Bergkamp had Henri with him, Bergkamp come out with a statement saying that he missed playing with Ian Wright over Henri. I don't know if anyone remembers that. I miss my righty, I think, was the headline.
Yeah, I've got one for you then. We're obviously talking duos. How high up would you put as favourite as the best strikers in the 90s? How high up would you put York and Cole?
Individually?
As a pair, yeah. As a pair, they're iconic, yeah. They're great. But how high would they be individually, yeah? How high would you put them?
Well, you've got to say that York, he scored, I think he scored for Aston Villa, continuous seasons, he scored 95, 96, he scored 17 league goals. 96, 97, he scored also scored 17 league goals. So he's pretty good goal scorer, in my opinion.
Yeah, but whenever you see these things come up about great strikers in the Premiership, are York and Cole separately up the top? They're probably in the top. They're never number one, are they? They're never number one. Shearer is. But how high up would you have then Shearer, Cole and York 2 and 3, would you?
I would have Shearer's 1, there's no doubt on that. I think you've got Cole's got a fantastic argument. I think Cole is massively underrated, personally. I think if you look at the amount of goals he scored at United, I remember when he first couple of seasons, he was accused of Cole always needs 3 chances to score. All right, that was one of the key things. Oh, Cole needs 3 chances, always need, but Shearer just needs 1 and Cole needs 3. The point was, Man United were giving him 7 a game and he might get 2. That's not a bad conversion rate. And I think
that's my point, though, Paul, that's my point as well. The amount of chances that United made against the Newcastle team.
No, I disagree. Newcastle in that period, mate, they were... if you look at Newcastle team in that period, Lee Harper said the words, they were top heavy. The reason why they never won a league is because they couldn't defend to save their lives. Going forward, they were up there with Man United in terms of ability of attacking play.
Yeah, do you know what? This is what brings the arsehole out in Paul. Because now we're talking about United.
He's getting the other.
Hold on. 3 of you agree that York and Cole were the best.
Yeah, but I don't anymore because of you. I'm going the other way now. I'm saying Di Canio and Wanchope, 99, West Ham. That's my pick. You've turned me off, which is what Man United fans do.
The best combination at West Ham was Kitson and Hartson. You've got
I'm going Wanchope. Wanchope and Canio.
All I'm saying is you're underestimating the partnership in that team.
No.
Saying about York and Cole in a treble winning team, a double winning team. Year after year, they was winning trophies.
Yep.
Yeah, year after year. These guys are together for one season. As me and Lee said at the beginning, if they had longevity as a partnership, Newcastle would have won something.
Okay, but as a combination, as a partnership, you can't
say
Shearer and Ferdinand were better than York and Cole. And
but it's partnership. It's not about trophy. It's just partnership.
But they were two individuals.
They scored more goals.
But individually,
as a partnership.
They were two individuals. I wouldn't say they were a great partnership. York and Cole were a great partnership. Well, just the goals in the season, because you're saying Newcastle were, you know, in terms of the team they were playing with. Yes, we had a fantastic midfield. There's no argument in that. But I still don't see how you can't think York and Cole are undisputed number one. Personally, I think, as I said, if we go into the noughties and we're going as a duration, then I think Burkham and Armory would probably say we're better. But I don't think
if we're going noughties, I'd say Ida Good Johnson and Jimmy Floyd were better than York and Cole. If we're going noughties and we're comparing, right,
we're still in the 90s because otherwise,
their link up play and telepathic, as Graham was saying, was up there with the best in the Premiership there's ever seen, in my opinion.
I don't know. York and Cole for me. And yes, I'm biased as a Man United fan, maybe, so I can take that on the chin.
But we're all biased because Man United was mainly on TV every week. Because exposed to it more.
I was being unbiased by saying York and Cole. Like, it's hard. They were saying them words out of my mouth, being an Arsenal fan, was difficult. And then Paul's gone on this rant about Man United being great. It's vexed me now. So now I'm taking back my York and Cole. All right, so you can have that as your vote, Mickey, but I'm not backing you, and that's because of you.
The Newcastle scored for 96, 97. Like, so Faustino Aspilia was there as well, and he couldn't get in the team, obviously. Shearer and Ferdinand scored so many goals that season. But just going back to as what we were saying about the Newcastle being top heavy, like, their centre backs were Philip Albert, Steve Howie. You probably had John Beresford and Warren Barton. Their midfield would probably have been Lee Clark, Rob Lee, David Batty, and Ginola. It's a little bit different than the 8 players that Man United you can name. Right?
Yeah.
Completely.
Compared to the 98-99 team at United, It's different levels of service with that service.
That's because they had Ryan Giggs in Man United, and we all know what we think about him.
The rug.
Most overrated player to ever grace the Premier League.
All right, I'm going to say something.
Don't even edit that out. Put it in.
This is to you, Adam. This is at you, right? So, you know the 98-99 Man United team, yeah?
Yep.
Do you think they would have won the treble instead of Jurgen Kohl had Shearer and Ferdinand up there?
Yeah. Because you had the other two as well. You substitute Jurgen Kohl out of that and put Shearer and Sheringham in there.
Ferdinand
and Oli. Those four strikers, for me, are better than Jurgen Kohl in that foursome.
Individually, yes. Not combined, no.
Dave Graham, what do you think? What I just said there. If you had Shearer and Ferdinand in that 98-99 treble winning Man United team instead of Jurgen Kohl, do you think they would have still won the treble?
I think it's a huge possibility that they would have done. I can't see any reason why they wouldn't have done. I would still say that Kohl and York are better together, but obviously Ferdinand. Sorry, did you say Ferdinand or Sheringham?
Yeah, Ferdinand and Shearer. Sheringham would have already been there.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Ferdinand and Shearer. Yeah, without shadow of doubt, they could have done, but it's an if, but, and when, isn't it? So, possibly.
All right, so let's have a quick vote then, and then we'll try and narrow it down. Holland, it's going to swing on you because I'm York and Kohl. Graham?
York and Kohl. Yeah, I'm sticking.
Harper?
I'm going to. It's a hard one. I'll probably go with York and Kohl, unfortunately.
Miller?
I'm sticking.
Holland?
I'm sticking.
Shearer and Ferdinand.
Okay.
You've turned the first two episodes, you've been this hostess with the mostess and all this, talking like Boris Johnson. and now you've turned into a Man United fan, and it's turned me the other way. I'm sorry.
Okay. So this week, York and Kohl, I think we've all proven, were the most deadliest duo to grace the Premier League in the 90s. So taking it back to slightly different now, if we were to say you could name any strike partnership in the 90s, anyone we've mentioned or haven't mentioned in the Premier League era, who would be the two that you have put together that you think would have the best partnership? We'll start with Graham.
Yeah, before we get onto that, I just want to come onto a point that Lee Harper, he mentioned earlier about Chris Sutton. What did you say he was? Did you say he was? I'm not misquoting you. Did you say he was crap or he was not very good?
Yeah. Overrated, I think. Technically, technically, I don't think he's a great striker. I don't think he's.
I just want to create something here. I want to bring Holland in this as well. Dave, would you say Henrik Larsson was world class?
Yes.
The reason I asked, because obviously you've got a soft spot for Celtic. When I was doing a little bit of research the other day, I didn't realise that Sutton and Larsson, when they played together, they scored 241 goals together in four seasons. Now, that's a lot of goals. I know it's the SPL. We'll get into that another time. But there was a quote from Larsson saying that Chris Sutton was the best player we ever played with. Now, remember, he played up front with Ronaldinho. Henrik Larsson's quoted Sutton was his best ever strike partner he played with, and I've just mentioned Ronaldinho, Rooney and Zlatan.
Graham, can we stop you there 2 seconds, right?
Go on.
We all love Miller, yeah? And we tell everyone he was a great player, so it's more of a friend thing than an actual fact.
No, it's the quote's a fact. I haven't just made it, the quote's a fact.
I think Henrik Larsson must have been drinking that Buckfast up there too much, bruv.
Possibly. Can we officially say Henrik Larsson's a liar then? Is that what we're saying?
Harper is.
I'm just quoting what he's saying. I'm quoting what he's saying. So yeah, is he either talking bullshit?
Yeah, he's talking about 240 goals in the SPL.
Like Gazza got 30, I think, didn't he?
No, is that official? Henrik Larsson's a liar if he's listening to this pod.
No, he's not lying. That's his opinion.
Yeah, of course, opinion.
But he's played with those players. I just wanted to bring it out there because Lee made a comment about Sutton not being very good, and I wanted to bring Holland in it because he was a Celtic. He's a Celtic boy as well. So I just wanted your thoughts on it. That was all. From what he was saying, Larsson.
I think Larsson was a great striker. There's no doubt about it. But he's pulling someone's leg when he's coming out with that.
He wasted a lot of his time in Celtic. He should have gone somewhere else earlier, I think.
Well, he was really good at United. He was good at Barca. and that was when he was in his end of his career.
Yeah, no, no. I'm not. I love Larsson. He was great at United. He was great at Barca. But I think if he left 5 years prior, I think he would have been even more of a legend.
Well, he had it easy up there, didn't he? He was scoring goals, winning trophies, winning.
He's absolutely loved up there. Absolutely loved. And you can't buy that. You know what I mean? Everyone goes on about the Scottish League and stuff like that. But you know what? Just to be Shearer's loved by.
Yeah, at least a slate in it. It's like, wasn't it Haitley and McCoy? Didn't they score 78 goals in one season? But because it's the SPL, it don't matter.
Well, the SPL in the 90s, to come back to that, and we will do something on this, but in the SPL in the 90s wasn't a bad league as it is now. So,
yeah, no.
But let's go, going back to the points we just made. So, a dream strike partnership in the 90s. Graham, give me your two combined. Who are you going with?
Top of my head, Florin Radichoyu and Marco Bugas.
Graham, I'll come back to you. Have a little think. Harper, who are you going with?
Well, I'm going to go with Alan Shearer and Dwight York.
Miller?
I'm going completely off here. I'm going Shearer and Zola.
Nice.
Holland?
I'm going Alan Shearer and Robbie Fowler. I think Fowler was just a goal machine. He was. So I'm going for, as much as he used to hammer Arsenal, it's facts. So I would go with Shearer. Not that they would play like link well, I don't care about that. But I do, like, they're just two strikers. I'm going for Shearer Fowler.
Yeah, that's what I kind of went for a partnership with York and Shearer.
I've gone, my two are York and Shearer. I felt together they would have just been fantastic. Well, I wasn't going to go York and Cole.
How would you two pull the same?
Because York and Cole are the best. We all know that. We've agreed on that. But you can't leave Shearer out. So I would actually go with a front three if I had to. And I'll choose Shearer for Cole and York. But I can't do that. So, Graham, can you pick two?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Shearer and the Iceman, Bergkamp.
Oh, nice.
Okay, now sticking with strike partnership, there are a lot outside the Premier League of the best strikers like Busquets and Di Stefano, Vialli and Mancini, to name a few. They were tapped before our time.
Who's laughing?
Who's laughing? Holland, what's funny?
Just them two players. Like, well, he dug them out of somewhere. Where did he get them two
from?
Vialli was all right. It was the first two.
Yeah, Real Madrid.
Di Stefano from Real Madrid.
Di Stefano.
Right, I'm going to read it again. Now, sticking with strike partnerships, there are lots outside the Premier League. Some of the best, like Busquets and Di Stefano, Vialli and Mancini, to name a few. But they were just a tad before our time. But we can remember Shevchenko and Rebrov. The deadly duo managed over 200 goals. They won the league every year they teamed together. Even managed to get to the quarterfinals and the semifinals in the Champions League. And I know we're not going much into international partnerships, but an honourable mention must go to Ivan Zamorano and Marcelo Salas. In 97, they moved up to 16th from the FIFA ranks, jumping 31 places in just 3 years under their partnerships. So, you know, there's obviously loads of European partnerships, as I said earlier on. I mentioned Rebrov and Shevchenko because I know together they were just unstoppable. Salas and Zamorano, no one got them as a pair in a club level, but internationally they were just phenomenal. And I watched recently, and we could put this on the Instagram, was the goal against England in 98, which is just amazing. And Man United were linked with him, but we couldn't get the deal over the line. I think he would have been fantastic in the Premier League. Any honourable mentions from anyone else?
Well,
yeah, I've got one. It was only for a season. It was basically changing of the guard. Anyone remember Ruru?
Oh?
Ruru, the partnership of Ruru.
Well,
are you serious?
CBBS or something.
I don't think I was going in the 90s, but no, Romario and Ronaldo. I've done a bit of work, looked this up. Apparently, in 1997, they played 16 games together. They had played in a couple of tournaments, apparently, and Brazil scored 52 goals in those 16 games, and Romario and Ronaldo together link-up play score 31 of them.
In 16 games?
In 16 games. That's crazy. Apparently, it was like passing the torch. Romario was stepping aside. The R9 came on, the new kid on the block. And they scored 31 goals in 16 games, just
Where was they at club level at that time? Do you know, Dave?
Oh, I don't know. Was it 97? PSV, yeah, he would have been at PSV, or he would have left PSV by then. I'm getting 97, Barca. I'm guessing. It's got to be PSV, Miller, isn't it? And then Romario, he must have left Barca by then. So he must have gone back to Brazil. I'm guessing Flamengo or somewhere. But yeah, I'll just put a little stat out there for you. That's
good stat.
Not
good
the best of all time, but goal ratio, stuff. That's mad.
Well, I think he was at Barcelona,
R9. Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
In that season, 96-97, he scored 34 goals in 37 appearances.
Is that Ronaldo?
Ronaldo, yeah. Ronaldo. Yeah. In that year. And in the same season, Romario, he was at Valencia.
Oh, okay.
And he scored 5 goals in 11 appearances. Then he went on loan to Flamengo.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Anyone else got any other stats?
I've got another one, Paul, if you don't mind. Might involve the rest of the guys here. You mentioned Rebrov and Shevchenko.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back, just bear with me, to the Larson and Sutton thing. Can anyone here tell me, so without Googling, any teams apart from Shakhtar Donetsk and Dynamo Kiev in the Ukrainian league? Can any of you name off the top of your head? No. Okay. Would you say it was a top level league, good league?
No.
No, seriously. Okay. Right. Now, Shevchenko and Rebrov in 7 years scored 200 goals in that league. Shit league, let's be fair. And Larson and Sutton scored 241 in 4 years in, I think we've all laughed at it, shit league. Do you see where I'm going with this? But yeah. That Larson and Sutton didn't really have the chance to play in Europe because of that stupid wanky rule that Celtic have to have a qualifying game to get into Europe, which is totally unfair because of the seeding thing. Basically, what I'm trying to say is they weren't overrated because they played at a high level in Champions League. But the Larson and Sutton thing, I quite think they're underrated, to be honest, guys. I really do.
Yeah, but all right.
Going back what I'm saying about the levels of leagues.
Yeah, going back to the levels, what you're just saying then, David.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying that Paul read out a stat that Dynamo Kiev got to the quarters and semi-finals of the Champions League. Celtic couldn't even get out of group stages or whenever they couldn't even make it. So that's the level of how I look at it.
Yeah, but 200 goals in the Ukrainian league. It's a shit poor league.
But still they've proven in European level. Where Celtic they've never proved it in European level. So even though you're saying they scored 240 goals and they scored 200 however, but they got to the semi-finals of the Champions League.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you say that, Lee. When Jose Mourinho at Porto, when he won the UEFA Cup, they beat Celtic in the final, no?
True, very true.
Yeah, that won a Champions League, though.
That was in Seville.
It's still a major European trophy,
isn't it? Man United win that now, and they're happy with that. So it's got to be, you know what I mean?
Arsenal,
be happy to win a game. Let's get that right.
So I feel like we're clutching, like, because obviously that's not the best European. It is still a European Cup, but like Fulham got to
Fulham did. Yeah, Rebrov and Shevchenko both came to the Premier League and were duff. Let's get that correct.
Yeah,
but do you not see the point I'm trying to make about the quality of the league? I know what Lee's saying; he's 100% right. Of course, they've done it at a high level in the Champions League, but they've got to remember in the group stages of the Champions League, teams like Bromby, and teams you never heard of from the Romanian league. We had one here, the other bit, Karabag. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, I know it's the Champions League, but some of the games in the group stages, there's better teams in the championship.
Yeah, but them teams still have to qualify. They don't just get straight in.
Of course they do, but they're not good quality, are they? Come on.
No, I agree.
It's the knockout stages. I'm going on their 200 goals in the Ukrainian league.
Yeah, but Celtic never qualify, and they still play those teams.
I think it's unfair that they have to play a playoff game to get into Champions League.
Celtic have to play three qualifying rounds to get
to order.
Yeah, but so do all the other teams, like who you said, Karabag, Ferencváros, all those other, like you said, Hungarian teams, Croatian teams. They've all got to play three games as well.
Okay, so Graham,
it's
fine. Between you two, so Rebrov, Shevchenko, or Larson and Sutton. If you've got a choice, Graham, what are you going with?
Well, based on I'm doing it in the Champions League, I'll have to go with the Rebrov.
Forget the Champions League. On your opinion, is who are you going with?
Rebrov and Shevchenko because of the knockout stage of the Champions League. I have to. Even though they played in a pants league in Ukraine, and they scored 200 goals.
It was also good.
No one can name any other teams. The league can't be that good.
So it's quiz time now. So it's going to be Miller versus Graham. And we played the game last week. Very simple. I'm going to name you a club. tell you how many managers they had in the 90s, and you've got a bid competing to see how many you think you can get right. So the first one, I'm going to go to Graham. So the first club I'm naming, Graham, is going to be Leeds United, and they only had three managers in the 90s. How many can you name?
Three, I think.
All three?
I think.
Miller, there's no bid in this one because he's gone for the maximum. So, Graham, name your three.
Harold Wilkinson.
Correct.
George Graham.
Correct.
David O'Leary.
Correct. Three out of three. Southampton. They had five managers in this period. How many do you think you can name from the 90s?
He didn't research them, was did you, Ants?
No, definitely not. I'm going to go two.
I can only think of two myself, mate.
Okay, so Miller, is this your call? You go with two. Can I hear your two, please?
Alan Ball.
Correct.
Gordon Strachan.
Incorrect. Ooh. Graham, can you name a second one to take the points?
Ian Bramford.
Well done, Graham. So that's 2-0 to yourself.
Can you name the others for us while you're there?
Oh, yep. The other managers were Dave Merrington, Graham Souness, and Dave Jones.
Forgot about
Souness. How about the two professional footballers here, both been smoked in the quids 2 weeks on the spin?
Oh, behave yourself.
Okay, so David Graham, 2-0 to you.
Too busy playing, not watching.
So this is for a bit of fun now. So I'm going to go to you, Graham, to give me this one. So Blackburn had five managers in the 90s. Ooh. How many can you name?
Sure. I'll tell you what, last week when Lee was doing it, I couldn't think. Blimey. I can only think of two.
Oh, God.
You can let him do his two, throw it over to him and get a point if he gets it wrong.
I reckon I've got two as well, but I reckon that'd be the same.
Okay, Graham, name your two.
Dalgleish and Harford
is correct. Well done. The other manager for Blackburn was Tony Parks, Roy Hodgson and Brian Kidd.
Hodgson.
Well, thanks, lads. I think we'll leave it there. I think we've been on for long enough now. So for next week's episode, we're going to be focusing on the most underrated 11 to play in the Premier League. We would love to hear from you. So if you could follow us on our Instagram page at The Phoenix 5 Show, that's The Phoenix 5, that's F-I-V-E. If any one-on-one questions or anything that you would like to ask us, then please email us at thephoenix5show@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.